It's a beautiful song. All right. Appreciate very much being here. Appreciate Sunday School Hour and songs at the beginning. That first song we sang this morning triggered a memory from way back. I remember sitting with Mom. We were at the Hartville Church, and we were singing God is Love. Maybe I was sitting with Aunt Emma, I'm not sure. But anyhow, I remember how beautifully the ladies led out in that, in the throughout the verses there. That's the tenor and bass were quiet, and the ladies sang. So I checked the church hymnal, and sure enough, that music is different in the church hymnal than it is in the Christian hymnal that we sang this morning. But I remember them singing, and they leading out, and the men were quiet, and I didn't know why. I said I didn't read, but it happened every time. But it was a beautiful song. I remember loving it back then. God is love. All right. I'd like to turn to chapter 4 of Luke for a devotional meditation. I'm also enjoying our Sunday school discussions in the book of John. Every chapter is unique, and the chapter the story that we studied today is unique to the Gospel of John. And there's nothing like it quite any place else. And maybe for reasons, I don't know. But Jesus told this man that he had been there for 38 years. And a number of us can remember back 38 years. And there's a couple of things that happened 38 years ago. If you were living, you remember. Ronald Reagan was running for president 38 years ago, and 38 years ago he won the nomination in November. 38 years ago today, some of the Iranians escaped through the help of Canada. That was right in the middle of the hostage crisis in Iran. And six of them somehow got away, and I don't remember exactly what all entailed, but they escaped, and the rest of them stayed until the day of that Ronald Reagan was inaugurated. During that time, there was a military attempt to rescue the hostages that I found very interesting. I just read a book recently, or listened to a book recently about this, and this is pretty interesting. I do remember that they had flown some planes over and had some helicopters, and they had an accident where a few of the Marines were killed during that attempt. But one thing that was really interesting in the attempt is that they had got a remote place in the desert. They were going to land these big planes, and helicopters flew over there in the desert. And everything was going okay, except that a couple of helicopters were knocked out because of the desert, because of the sandstorms. And then they had landed those big cargo planes, and they had bladders full of fuel for the helicopters, and they were going to land and refuel and take off. The helicopters were going to carry the militia to rescue these hostages. And instead, the conditions got worse and worse, and they aborted the mission. But in doing that, they had to ditch the helicopters and take off with their planes. And make a long story short, one helicopter crashed into a plane that was loaded with soldiers, and it caught fire, and they had to evacuate. Well, the one soldier was in there. He had gone in. He was totally fatigued, and he was sleeping. And he woke up, and he saw this plane was on fire. And he thought that they had been attacked in the air. And he saw a line of his soldiers were there, and they were jumping out the back of the plane, jumping out. He thought they were in the air, and he's looking around desperately for a parachute. Couldn't find one. But he got in line, and when he got to his turn to jump out, he just piled out, did the perfect arch, and smacked into the ground. And the next person jumped right on top of him. And somebody saw what was happening and knocked him out, actually. And so somebody saw what was happening, and they jumped in there and pulled him out, pulled him away from the plane. And he survived. And somebody asked him later, he said, what were you thinking, jumping out of a plane without a parachute? I mean, what chance do you have? Well, he said, I was just taking one problem at a time, he said. So that was a story that was interesting that happened 38 years ago. Well, that was a long time ago. You know, some of us remember that very well, remember what was happening. But in the story of our lesson today, that was 38 years. So think of how long a time that was from then until now. And here Jesus comes along and heals this man. And then he said, sin no more lest a worse thing come upon you. So he gives us both a help and a warning for that. Now I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 4 and start reading at verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. And whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, the city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed save Naaman the Syrian. And all that were in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. You know, it's really interesting to see that when Jesus spoke, when he stood up in the synagogue to read, and he found that scripture in Isaiah, I just love to see this picture, that Jesus knew exactly where this was. And he didn't have books. You know, we think the printing press was a huge invention, and it was, when they could print books and distribute literature very, very quickly. But one of the big inventions before the printing press was the system of having a book where you could turn pages instead of having the scroll. Can you imagine how well you'd have to know something in order to find what you were looking for in a scroll? Roll it up on one side. You know, our Bibles, some of your Bibles have indexes where you can put your finger right on the correct book right off the bat. And at least you know, if I give you a reference, you know if it's going to be Old Testament or New Testament, and so you know which half of the book to start searching on. That was a tremendous thing. When Jesus got up and he read, he knew exactly where to go in the book of Isaiah. He opened a book to this and he read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And that was just a tremendous place to start. Exactly the right words, exactly the right people to say it to, and exactly the right person to whom it was said. And then it says they wondered at the gracious words that were in that came out of his mouth. But there was more. It says in verse 31, he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who thou art, thou Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, and saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, What word is this? For what with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and ministered unto them. Here again, Jesus is in the act of healing one person. And they besought him, and they came. He healed her, and she stood up, and she, it says, he ministered unto them. And now, in verse 40, it says, And now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And the devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him, and he came unto him, and he stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. One of the things that's interesting in our lesson this morning was that there was a great multitude of sick folks. Jesus there healed one person. And I don't know if we have record of any other account where he left sick people sick. But he did there, at least it doesn't say that they were healed. That one man was healed. Here it says very clearly that there was many people that came to Jesus, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. One of the things that Jesus told his disciples that they would do is that they would heal. But he said, you are going to do greater things than this. He said, the things that I see in John 14, verse 12, I believe, it says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the things that I do shall ye do also, and greater things than these shall ye do, because I go to my Father. And as people, we're survivalists. We think that survival is the most important thing, and a healthy body is really important. And it is. Most of us don't appreciate good health until we don't have it. Yesterday, I was suffering from a gout attack, and I didn't realize how important my big toe was the day before, but I do knew how important it was yesterday. It's just very painful. You can hardly walk. Today, I know how important my big toe is. It's good. It feels good. But, you know, most of us don't appreciate good health until it's taken away from us. But Jesus was there to restore health in a physical way. But even more importantly, he is restoring health in a spiritual way, to where we have a relationship with Him, where we have a relationship with God. We know who God is, and we know what our destiny is. And that's much more important than suffering with no pain. I mean, living life with no pain. And so we ask for healing for those that are sick. And we want that. Yet there is something that Jesus has already done that is far more important than having us live a life without pain. And that is, He has provided for our salvation. And so today I just want to praise the Lord and be a testimony to His grace because of what He has done. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.